Well, let's open our Bibles to John 3:16, and let's read that together. I'm going to read from the King James Version, verses 16, 17, and 18. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, if you would, let's turn over to Galatians chapter 6, familiar scripture verses, and you can let's look at verse 9, and I believe we touched on this the last time we were together. And verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So we have a qualifier here. It says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." So, is it possible to get weary? Absolutely. Every single one of us. I don't care who you are, what objective you have, what level, new, or you're mature in Christ, the things that God has assigned to you, we all can face a place of weariness. When I say weary, I mean a place of wondering whether this is, you know, it hasn't changed. It's been 5 years. It's been 10 years. I've been waiting for this. I can speak from myself that the Lord spoke to me as a young man, and 20-some years down the road, 20-some years down the road, I reached a place of just saying, this ain't happening. Because it just doesn't look like something's going to happen. And I just reached a place of just weariness. And we can all reach that. Because when God speaks to you something, this wasn't a still small voice that spoke to me. This was a supernatural experience that I had, that God spoke to me in my room. And I'm talking about it was that kind of significance, and I walked in a peace and a presence for 2-3 days that you could have probably lit a bomb off onto me, and it was so supernatural that you don't lose those things. And that kind of significance I used as an anchor. That experience was an anchor for me going through and walking through these 20 plus years. But I reached a place where I, just working in the ministry, you know, and I just thought, well, you know what, the things that God, maybe he meant, I didn't give up, I just said, maybe he meant something else. You know how we do. Maybe he didn't really mean that, he meant this. And I kind of massaged it in my mind a little. Maybe he didn't really mean that. Well, yes, he did. He meant exactly what he said. And what he said is exactly what I'm doing. So it did come to pass, and the other things he's fulfilling and working out, because he showed me more. But the point is that we can all reach a place of weariness. We can reach a place where we just say, it didn't mean that. So we let go. And we can let go of things. But I thank God for, as Paul wrote, that he put in the body gifts to help us walk through that process. And even in that place of weariness, Pastor Clinton, by the Holy Ghost, said, "What's going on?" And see, he picked it up. And we had a little 5-10 minute talk. Poof, gone. You know what I mean? So sometimes you need a little adjustment, a little correction. And back, I was back on the road and zooming. See what I mean? So when Paul writes, "And let us not be weary in well-doing," the mere fact that it's written means that there's the possibility you could be tempted with getting weary. And what I rejoice with is that for in due season, so there is a due season. And it says here, we shall reap, not maybe. See, we shall reap if we faint not. And so that means to me, if I just keep steady, I'm going to reap. If I get in faith and stay in faith, I'm going to reap. And you can't find anybody that has gotten in faith and stayed in faith and didn't reap. Because if folks got in faith and stayed in faith, they reap. And, you know, you can come up with things that say, but what about this? And what about this? My answer to anybody that uses that or says that, you don't know everything about that person. You don't know what, number one, whether they were in faith. You don't know whether they gave up. You don't know that person. But you can't find one person, to me, that has gotten in faith and stayed in faith and didn't receive. Because usually you will find out somewhere along the line, somebody will say, "Well, you know, I didn't really much believe that was going to come to pass," or they said this or they said that. Some of the things that's interesting when you find out, even in the natural side, what people say, what they confess, you begin to find out after the fact that people put things in motion in their life because of what they said. And so things can happen in people's lives just because they put some things in motion. I remember, I don't mean to get off on these little side journeys here, but I remember I took a car, had this car for a while, and got in an accident with it. And the Lord said to me, this was years ago, he said, "Remember what you said about this?" And I went, "Ooh, Jesus." I had said something about this car for a long time. And it came to pass. And so we can put some things in motion about our circumstances, our life. We can put some things in motion by what we say about our health and our bodies and all of these various things that is still faith. You know, it's just faith in the wrong direction. But you're going to experience it. If you keep there and you begin to believe it, what does the word say? "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things that he says," you're going to have them. So that's why I'm excited about saying that we've received $80,000 each week. Because the Lord told us to say it. And if we continue to say it and doubt not, we're going to receive it. He didn't say how it was going to come in and where it was going to come in, but it's going to come in. And we're going to experience that. So, Galatians, let me read this in, I like this in the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, let us not grow tired. See, we can, same thing, weariness, growing tired. Let us not grow tired of doing good, for unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest is assured. So the harvest is assured if we don't throw in our hand. What does that mean? Just throw the towel in, so to speak. This is the voice. It says, may we never tire of doing what is good and right before our Lord, because in his season we shall bring in a harvest if we can just persist. Got to persist. Don't give up. You know, we're all faced with some things. And I'll say this. Let's just jump over there for a moment. Let's go over to Romans just for a quick moment. Go over to Romans 15. I think it's Romans 15. Let me just take a look here. Romans 15. I think. No, I'm thinking of something else. Excuse me. It's 1 Corinthians. Yeah. It's 1 Corinthians. I was thinking of something else. Just bear with me here a second. 1 Thessalonians. Get it right. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18 says, wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. See, he hinders. Satan can't stop you. He can't stop a healing from coming to you. He can't stop the money coming from you. He can't stop the blessings of God, but he can hinder some things. He can interrupt. He can, when I say hinder, he can mess with your mind and get you to do some things to cause things to be hindered. You understand what I mean by that? Interrupted. But he can't stop it. He doesn't have the power to stop it. He's been spoiled. And so the wonderful thing for me is he can't stop things coming to your life. He doesn't have the power to. But he does have, he is the God of this world, so he can come in and do some things in our soulish realm and cause you to make some steps or do some things to hinder some things, but he doesn't have the power to do it. See, here he said he hindered Paul from coming to them. So he can stir some stuff up. But I thank God we have the power in the name of Jesus to come against that. So Galatians, the New Living Translation, Galatians 6:9, it says, don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up. See, don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. So it's through faith and patience. This is what we've been sharing in Hebrews 6:12. We can jump over there. Go to Hebrews 6:12. Says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And Weymouth says, who through faith and patient endurance are now heirs of the promise. The Holman Christian Standard says, who through those who inherit the promises through faith and perseverance. And I remember when Pastor Tim Rogers was here, and you saw Enrique here this past Sunday, Enrique in Guadalupe. He moved. He was in Guatemala and doing some missions work, and that's when the Lord prompted him to move to Mexico City. Didn't know any Spanish, and God began to supernaturally give him insight into that language. He's been there almost 20 years, and he said, I'm not any better or different than anybody else. He said, the reason for me being successful in this land, in this country, is because I stayed, I persevered, I didn't give up. And he said that, I think he said it's like three out of four missionaries quit within a year, 2 years of going out on the field. They just give up. They don't persevere. He persevered. And so through life, we're going to be faced with things, issues that the devil may throw in our way, or we may even have created, but don't give up. God is a good God. He's a merciful God. And he'll see you through if you'll just persevere and you persist. Now, one scripture I wanted to jump, we're in Hebrews 6. Let's back up to Hebrews 3. And let's look at verse 14. It says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So it's important here, it's saying here in the book of Hebrews that we need to hold our confidence steadfast unto the end. And the New Living Translation says, for if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. So it's key that we keep this confidence, this trust, this faith steadfast to the end, just like when we started this race. How is that going to come about? And we'll spend a few minutes here, but in order for us to be steadfast, in order for us to be continuing in this race, we're going to have to do what? Bear fruit. There's going to have to be a byproduct. There's going to have to be some fruit in our life that causes us to be steadfast. In other words, I'll say it this way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't have faith. What does it say? The just shall live by faith and not by sight. So how am I going to have faith to run this race? Through the word of God. And so when we get weary and people get tired, it usually can be an indicator, can be, that I've gotten away from the Word of God. I am not meditating in it as much as I should. And that's why when people get sick and they have infirmities, you can see this. Some of you have been with loved ones. What happens after time? They get weary and they get tired and they just say, I don't want to stay here anymore. I want to give up and go home. And that weariness comes, and I'm not saying in any event, in any respect, that somebody's not feeding on the Word of God, but that's the time that you need to be steadfast. You need to have people around you and you that can feed your spirit, not people around you that are just going to come in and chit-chat. Because we've seen it. We've gone into hospital rooms that are filled with people that are just yuck, 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 yuck. They want to talk, and they're not helping, but it's hindering that individual. And it's a time, anybody who's been here a length of time, when Pastor Clinton was going through some of the things that he went through, Pastor Sarah refused to have people in his hospital room. Because it was a life and death situation. And sometimes, you know, we want to, out of compassion, go and visit people. They may be in a situation where their life depends on who they have around them and what they're saying, what they're getting into to agreement with them and feeding them with the Word of God. So the faith to run this race is going to come from us diligently meditating on the Word of God and feeding on it daily. That's why I so appreciate this time that we have of consecration, that we can set aside the kind of things that we normally do and just meditate in the Word of God, feed upon God's Word, make time to do that. And we're going to see the difference in 2014. So this says here, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, let's go over for a few minutes. Let's go over to the book of Luke. And let's go to chapter 8 for a moment. And I want you to get, because we'll probably look at all three of these renderings. You got Luke and Matthew and Mark. Luke chapter 8, Matthew 13, and Mark 4. Because they all have different, a little different rendering, which really helps. So let's look at Luke 8 first, and starting in verse 5. I'm sorry, starting in verse 5. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, And he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In verse 9, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see, and hearing that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So you can see here there's some significant words here that you take out of this rendering. It says, even down in verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root. Have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So you can see here the importance of the Word of God when temptation comes. If you don't have root, you won't be steadfast, and you fall away. You give up. You can see also in Matthew 13, starting in verse 3, it says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places. See, now, what did it say in Luke? It said, some fell on a rock. This here in Matthew, it says, fell on stony places, where they had not much earth. So this wasn't just a rock. This was a rock. This was something that had shallow earth, right? Because this, in Matthew, it's saying it fell on what? Stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. See? And so now down in verse 19, it says, in verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. See, this was in verse 12 in Luke 8, it said, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Well, we know here in Matthew it says, it's those that understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy received it. Received it with joy. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now that word offended is a very interesting word when you look it up. It says to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. Wow. So, it says, or to be displeased, to cause to fall away. So, being offended here means someone who begins to distrust or someone who deserts one whom he ought to be trusting. So, you can see here what caused that person to get into that place because they didn't have deepness of root. The root of what was planted was not deep. And so when persecution and tribulation and troubles came into their life, they became offended. They got to a place of not trusting the one they should have, which was who? The Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. All your ways He will direct your path. So there needs to be a deepness of root in our lives. And you can continue to read down here in this. He said in verse 22, he also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So you can see here, as you read through these accounts in Matthew and Mark and Luke, it talks about four different types of ground. And it also talks or refers to that the ground is our heart. And so you can see here that you can go through and see that if our heart doesn't have root of the Word of God, that's a condition where if we're not careful, we can become offended and distrust. We can start out in this race with joy. We can receive our assignments. We can receive things to run this race, and as we're going along, if we're not feeding, if we're not meditating, then the root of the Word becomes affected. And then when we begin to run into issues in life, then we're not as steadfast as we should be unto the end, and we can give up. And that's what we're not. We don't need to be doing it, because we're going to go over, because the greater one lives in us. He lives in us. So you can see here that they that had a shallow root endured for a time, and when persecution came, they gave up. They just gave up, threw in the towel, they became tired, whatever the situation is. But faith, this isn't a race. When I say this isn't, you know, one thing we have to keep in mind is that this world that we live in, everything is boop, instant. You know, I was talking about that today with someone. I said, you know, if I want a book, I don't even go to the bookstore anymore. Why? Because I don't want to wait. I download it. If I want to get a song, I don't want to wait. What do? I download it. But what does that do? That feeds the nature of the flesh. So we've gotten to the point where I don't even want to wait for something to come in the mail anymore. I just like, bam, I got to hit a button because I want something now. And so what happens is we continually feed that, so that when I believe God, if I wait a day, it's like, what? Where is it? It's like, what's going on? I waited a whole day. You know, come on, God, hurry up. You know, that's not how it works. And so what does it say? In due season, in His season, you'll reap if you faint not. So we've got to kind of do a little shift in our thinking here, that the way we operate in this earth realm is not how God operates. And we've got to change our thinking that when we believe, that's where it needs to stay, right there. I believe God, and it's going to come to pass, period. And let's turn over here for a moment to Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and 13. And this, he says here, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing. That you may what? Abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So you're not going to be able to do this without the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of all hope, I like this in the J.B. Phillips, it says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. So your whole life and outlook will be radiant with hope. How? By, says he, that he may fill you with joy and peace in your faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's going to take fellowship. It's going to take fellowship with the Lord. It's going to take fellowship and meditating in His Word. And it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to fill you with all joy and peace in your faith. Because this fellowship that we have with God, fellowship in His Word, fellowship in time with Him, He will fill us with joy and with hope as we run this race. And so we all can get to a place at some point where we begin to question either the Word of God or question something that God has given us. And it's really the devil trying to stop and hinder the fruit that'll be born through your life. And so for us, as we start this, I don't want to say start this race, but as we start moving in the direction of the things God has assigned us here, I think it's interesting for me. It's been interesting how many know that when you step back, sometimes you can see things in a different perspective of things. I know when Pastor Greg and I both made a choice to spend more time. We said, okay, we're going to spend more time when we come in fellowship with God, in prayer, in study of the Word. We made a choice. We said, okay, we're going to move in this direction. Boom, 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 boom. Stuff started popping like popcorn. And I said, okay. You're trying to hinder what God wants us to do, because He's been speaking to us to step not totally out, but step back a little bit, back a little bit, back a little bit from operational things in the ministry and to spend more time in prayer and fellowship in the Word. And we had been finding we're spending just a little too much time in operational things. And we said, no, let's step back a little bit. Let's spend more time in prayer and study, fasting. Bang, 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 bang. We said, see, God's right, and the devil wants to hinder, frustrate, weary you. And that's what happens. And so it's a good indicator when you start moving in the direction, not just us, when you start personally moving in the direction that God wants you to, don't be surprised when it's the right path. Boom, 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 boom. And you go, I'm in the right path. This is it. And to me, that's the time to rejoice. Say, yes, sir, we're going in the right path. This is it. And you know you're right. You know you're in the right path. That's the time to rejoice, you see. And so I'm thrilled about this year. I'm thrilled about what God has been speaking through various people and the gifts coming to the church, because God is about ready to do something that's way out beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine, but it's going to take us being steadfast and not getting weary because some stuff pop up and weary your mind, like, what the heck is this? What is this going on here? Just realize that if it's God that gave you that direction, you start moving in that path and stuff starts happening, you know you are right on target. And don't think, see, I've been saying this, don't think that as God gives us insight and direction to expand the ministry, do different things, it's not going to come with some stuff. You just think you're going to go, ooh, yeah, we're going to just kind of just cruise on through. No, it's not going to cruise on through. You're going to come to with some obstacles, but just don't get weary and say, you know what, I've had enough. No, there's an objective, there's a prize. What is the prize? Souls. And if you keep that in your heart, if you keep that inside of you, that I will go through this for the people that are suffering, I'm a carrier of the presence of God. I'm a carrier of the anointing of God. I'm a carrier of that which can help people. Then I'll endure. I will go through. I'll walk through this. You see? And that's what we have to keep in mind, because if we don't, it becomes selfish. I ain't doing this. I've had enough. See? Any parent, you go through things for who? Your children. You endure things for your children. You don't just say, I ain't doing that. No, you don't. And so it's the same thing. God has put his nature in us so that we endure some things and walk through some things for the prize of the souls that God has died for. And so if we keep that focus in mind, we'll do all right. We'll do all right. We'll make it. We'll get through and kick the devil out of this territory. Right on out. So that's what God put on my heart here to share. And let's keep it in focus. Keep his heart in here. Keep his the vision that God has. Keep that alive in here. Don't get weary in our well-doing. And keep the prize before us. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for these words of grace. And keep it afire. Keep it alive in us. And keep it fresh on our hearts and minds as we go about our activities. And when we face obstacles, remind us, Father. Remind us to be steadfast unto the end. And we give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.